No person needs to know everything about everything, but you should have a certain level of knowledge on a plethora of different aspects. And if you're going to follow your dreams and go into entrepreneurship, then understanding your books is vital.
Any young entrepreneur, if you hear somebody is a venture capitalist, run away. Don't do business with venture capitalists, because they're
Please explain why.
People, welcome to the Sunside Kingdom Show, the place where we highlight individuals hailing from the Dutch Caribbean islands that have accomplished amazing things in their time. We want to highlight these individuals to showcase them to our communities and our diaspora around the world so that they can be inspired to achieve the best things possible for themselves. Today we have with us a very special guest, coming all the way from the turquoise aqua diving specialist island of Bonaire in the Dutch Caribbean, Mr. Alvin Obersi. Alvin is a true leader in entrepreneurship. With years of business, almost 40 years of business, he's been in business for 2 months longer than I've been alive. And has remarkable achievements and a deep commitment to his community, and has always been one step ahead in the game. Today, we're going to discover what mindset it takes to be able to have such an illustrious career. People, welcome to the Sunside Kingdom Show. Part of this episode is sponsored by the Openbaar Lichaam Bonaire. Alvin, welcome.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you for the invitation. I really appreciate it, and it's an honor.
Thank you very much for being here. It's an honor for me as well.
Okay.
And it's truly amazing how these type of connections and things sort of happen organically, and then you actually realize there's more in common than you actually even knew.
Correct.
So maybe we'll unpack some of that as we go today. Maybe let's unpack that a bit, because I think it's something that today it's not always fully known and understood, the importance of mentors.
Yeah.
How important were these three individuals in your life from a mentorship perspective?
With my father, I saw a role model.
Mm-hmm.
He would do things that in business that nobody would do.
Yeah.
He was entrepreneur. He would take risk.
Yeah.
Okay. With Hugo Gerards, I saw him also. He was actually, you could say, at a certain moment, owner of Bonaire.
Mm.
Okay, he owned everything.
Yeah.
Okay, gas station, hotel. He owned so many businesses.
Yeah.
And he's a risk taker.
Mm.
A risk taker all the way. And he also had businesses in outside of Bonaire, in the petrol. You know. And he did great businesses from outside. And I used to talk a lot with him, brainstorming with him.
Yeah.
And he loved me like a son, you know, because he saw a lot of potential in me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and he was one of my biggest customer of Bonaire as well, you know?
Yeah.
And so we had a lot of things we were talking. And so I spoke, he would guide me, you know, don't do this, do that, you know? My father was also... Rui Viana would teach me how to...
So it's kind of like you spent a lot of time sponging, a lot of
yes.
time absorbing
yes.
all of this knowledge.
Yes.
Because when you were having those conversations, this is before the time that you set up shop in St. Martin and
yeah, Curaçao that was the food, yeah, before.
Places.
I was still an agent of Xerox.
Okay.
And then you'll know how I become a distributor. When I was asking to become a distributor...
Yeah.
You know, separate from Curaçao. They said, no, Curaçao is here. We can't have you, you know, as distributor and so forth because of, you know, the distance. I said, yeah, but you guys are killing me with price and mm-hmm, I need to make mm-hmm. my margin. So yeah, how am yeah. I going to, if I don't get to become, you know, distributor, I would do another brand, mm-hmm. you know, and which I hate because I'm a person that I'm very loyal.
You know, I have to ask you a question in between.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Usually this is the type of question that I ask off camera, but what is your birthday?
23rd of April.
Okay.
1963.
Okay. So Taurus.
Yeah.
All right.
Taurus and Aries, they're about business, business, business.
Business, business.
Yeah, business, business. Yeah. Yeah. And so I said, I can't do it this way. And he came back after a month to me and says, Alvin, you know, we're selling Xerox, Antiana, St. Martin. Maybe it's something you would look into it.
Mm.
I said, if it makes me a distributor in Bonaire, I would. He said, we can look into it.
We can look into it.
So I said, no, actually he called me and he called me one day. He says, can you come to Curaçao? Because I can't talk this on the phone with you. I said, sure, of course. Mm-hmm. I knew the planes, what time they were in. So I said, pick me up at the airport this and that time,
yeah.
and we'll go to the restaurant. And we went to one of my best brother, Robbie, from Robbie's Lottery.
He owned the restaurant. From Robbie's Lottery, yeah.
Yeah, he owned the restaurant in Bohis, you know, in Curaçao. Mm-hmm. So we went to have the meeting there, you know, the lunch meeting. I remember Rui coming with his daughter that was all over him before we brought her to her home, and then you know, went to that. And he asked me, he says, Alvin, I know a way how you can become, you know, if you're interested in yeah. St. Martin.
Yeah.
I said, okay, I can become distributor. He says, yeah, of course, we can work out a way that you can become distributor of Bonaire. I said, okay, if that is the case,
let's talk.
Let's look into it. He says, are you interested? I said, I've never been to St. Martin, but I believe Rui Viana blind.
Yeah.
I said, why are you selling? He says, no, because Xerox wants to turn all these agencies and, you know, affiliate into distributors.
Mm.
And so I said, okay, why didn't you buy? I don't have $2.8 million.
Mm.
I said, oh, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you have buy if you had the money? Yes, I would definitely, but I don't have it. I don't have the ways.
Yeah.
But I know you have where you can get it.
Mm.
I said, okay, I don't have the money either.
Yeah.
But I can put a deposit, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like that. So so I said, is the price negotiable? He says, yes. Then I said, it's a handshake. I'll buy it.
All right.
Yeah. But the price is negotiable.
Yeah.
I ended up buying Xerox at that time, 1.6.
Oh, wow.
Million, yeah.
So US. That went from 2. How much?
Yeah, because they 2.4? Had a lot of toner, a lot of supplies that were going to become obsolete.
Mm.
They were going to become obsolete.
Yeah, and so then you got to kind of write those it. Off.
So I told them, no, you guys send them back. I'm not going to. So they, instead of sending them back, they said, you know something, keep it for free.
Yeah.
And on top of it, that got $1 million
from the value, the overall valuation of the company. Yeah.
Valuation, and then I bought it actually 23rd of April.
On your birthday.
On my birthday. That's usually I buy something on my birthday. So in 23rd of April, 1995.
Mm.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
23rd of April, 1995.
And then the Lord sent you a curveball in September.
And then I signed the 31st of August. They hand me over the company.
Oh, my God.
Hand me over the company. And then the 4th of September, Luis.
Shit.
The
I just got goosebumps.
Yes.
I just got goosebumps.
But you know something? ships could not come in at least 2 to 3 months with Luis. And I had $1 million of supplies and things inside my inventory.
Yeah.
That is what kept me alive. I sold all of it and could have
because paid. You essentially just got the keys to the castle with all of this inventory, everything. Yeah. No inventory of that specifically could have entered the island for a couple months.
Correct.
So, my God. So what?
So you understand? You understand, right?
I understand 100%.
Okay.
You don't know where your blessing is going to come from.
Yep.
And even in devastation, there may be a silver lining and a blessing.
My wife and I, we were sleeping on the bed, listening to this guy on CNN saying, oh, what's going to be left from this island?
Yeah.
So we were like, holy shit, I have a loan of $1.1 million and I still have to pay it off.
Yeah.
And this guy is saying this. But guess what? The savings I made in the price difference as agent and distributor.
Oh, because wait a minute. Now it just clicked. Because essentially you made these savings of the stuff that was about to be obsolete. But now this stuff that was about to be obsolete, you get to sell it all off because there was nothing else that could be delivered to the island in that short space of time.
Correct.
So that would be all used up. Wow.
And not only that, but the savings that I made on the price difference when I used to be an agent to a distributor. Because in Bonaire, I got to be a distributor also.
Yeah.
Okay, so the savings, to see how big the difference was, the savings alone could have paid off the debt from my mortgage.
Yeah,
let me put it that way.
Yeah.
That I had to, you know. But thanks God it happened a different way. It was actually the years thereafter that we found problems with the hurricanes, with more hurricanes, like 8 hurricanes more that came afterwards.
Yeah.
That was devastating to the island. Really, really devastating. Yeah.
Yeah. Because when we're looking at this portfolio, right, how many businesses are there currently in your portfolio?
Well, I have, you know, some I don't active, non-active, because I also manage the ones that my father left.
Okay.
You know, I also am the managing director. We're owners, my brothers, sisters, and us. But the ones that I created, I have a group of company called Obersi Group of Companies.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we... there's more things. Because I also opened... because when Talbo and I, when we made an agreement that when Talbo is going to set up his own system, own infrastructure, we would go 50-50.
Mm.
That was the deal.
Yeah.
And at a certain moment, we saw in the newspaper that Talbo was going to, many moons afterwards, Dert Heiter was still alive, and he was furious about it, and he wanted me to go to court. He would back me up 100%, you know, for the 50% but I let it go. And I started a new
because
company.
Because that deal was a handshake deal that got signed.
Yeah.
So that's one.
No, but all the politicians knew. Everybody knew.
Yeah. No, everybody. But what I'm trying to get to is when you made the joke just now about you sign first and then you shake
then
the
you
hand,
shake hand yeah.
is knowing that these these things can occur
can
when
occur,
people
yeah.
don't actually keep their word.
And then that's where Talbot and I, we separated completely from each other. And I we separated and I started right next to them together with Yezurun and with Hali, Cellular One.
I remember Cellular One.
Yeah. I came from Sermat. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we started it in Bonaire. Unfortunately, it was all venture capitalist. So you get to learn who is venture capitalist.
Yeah.
So any young entrepreneur, if you hear somebody is a venture capitalist, run away. Don't do business with venture capitalists because they're so
please,
in.
Please explain why.
Why? Because they let you set up the company properly, mm-hmm. everything. Then they find ways, try to find ways to steal the company from you.
Mm.
You know?
So they leave, they essentially invest a certain amount. They yeah. they help guide you yeah. in setting it up. Then they make sure that yeah. you have to prove yourself now, run, do all the work. But
you're
then,
doing everything perfectly.
Yeah.
But then they create, hey, can you ask for more funds?
Mm.
And ask the other partners to bring in. I said, no, why? Our deal was you guys bring the funds.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how it is. How can I tell my fellow Bonaireans and Curacaoans, hey, you guys, no, that's not our deal.
So but the same thing they were doing with me, they were also were
United States.
That's what I wanted yeah. to see.
United States. And so we started the court case against them. We won the court case. They had to pay us. And then we moved out.
Yeah.
You know? And the
because
company
there's
died.
A difference between venture capitalists and angel investors, right?
Yes, that's totally different, yeah.
Could you break that down?
I don't know angel investors much good. Okay. But from what I understand, those are investors that would carry on with you, guide you, also, and so forth. But in this
so what,
case...
So what exactly do the venture capitalists do then?
Venture capitalists, at the same time, I can tell you my experience.
Yeah.
At the same time, they were trying to steal our shares in Bonaire.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, they were trying to steal the shares also from my friends in Curaçao, in St. Martin, Rudy Groman, in St. Eustatia, Henke Rivers, mm-hmm. and also in Dominica and in Jamaica.
With and in Dominica, Republic. Not Dominican Republic.
No, Dominica. Okay. Yeah. And I can't tell you what happened.
Yeah.
But things happened that they lost everything, you know, because...
Who lost everything? The venture capitalists?
Yeah, okay. Because, you cannot come and steal from
yeah.
the people of the islands,
yeah.
you know?
Because, well, some people try, eh?
Yeah. You come and steal. When you try to steal with people that has license,
mm-hmm.
those are people that knows a lot of people.
Yeah.
And... It's not just like that you get it.
Yeah.
Because you put money on the table to do what you say you're going to do. And, you know, you act always correctly.
Yeah.
And when people like this mess up, the the ministers know who is who.
Yeah.
So they are, if you come from outside and you try to steal a local who's... You know, things will happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Like that.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. Yeah. And it's not me, but it's just the law of how it is.
Yeah.
It's not like in America, for instance. Oh, they always respect you. Oh, you're bigger than that. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
No. In the Caribbean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So you try to steal one of ours. Okay, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, like that. That's actually what took place. You know,
okay.
So. That's why I say stay away from venture capitalists.
Yeah, but let's rewind in the time. Let's go back to a young Alvin, and what were young Alvin's experiences like?
Well, young Alvin was a guy that was always smiling, helpful to his friends, good friends, people like Eric Meyer, Ayo Bukout, many Nanche. Fernando and many other friends, you know, along Chuy Gonzalez, you have Yanni Gonzalez, all of them were close friends of ours. And we grew up in Playa Pariba, what we call Playa Pariba, which is close to the airport. So our playground was actually the first place we lived was actually Sabana. Sabana. There is where I had, we call him Chocho, George Mercera. Actually, we call him Chocho. And many of the friends that I still have up to today. All my friends from back then that I used to be we're still friends. The ones that are alive, we're still friends up to today.
Oh, wow.
You know, so we still have a great friendship.
Then I'll quote the young Drake, no new friends, no new friends.
Yeah, have good friends, really good friends, yeah, you know.
That's important.
Yeah, very good friends. And we used to, you know, our playground was behind the house where actually there was the whole, there's a road going from the airport, mm-hmm, that goes in front of Marriott and all of that. That road didn't exist. Mm. That was actually where we used to, when it rained, it become flooded, and we used to make these boats, and oh, I would, wow, go and show my
because
friends.
Because that road or that piece of land there is sort of right in between this huge salt
pond. It's more like, no, it's not really a salt pond, even though it's more salty, mm-hmm, than, you know, the soil is very salty.
Yeah.
And, but there was no road back then.
So was it always filled with water, that area?
No, only when it rains.
Oh, okay.
Only when it rains. And it could be very dry also, huh? So only when it rains.
Oh, okay.
And back then there was no Van der Valk. Mm-hmm. There was no Marriott. There's no... So the airport was more, you know, the little airport that existed close to the beach.
Yeah.
Okay. And so there was no road going there. There was only one road going straight to the airport in front of Gezag Gerbers House and continue driving all the way to the airport or to Belgium. Wow. That was it. And
yeah,
I remember a good friend of mine, Appy, we call him Piskechi.
What does Piskechi mean?
Piskechi is like, Piskechi is a type of fish, you know?
Fish, yeah.
Yeah. Very close friend. Good friend up to today. Very good friend. And he's the one that actually put the windsurfing up to a level in Bonaire.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I mean, there was first this, but Piskechi is the one that brought all the, you know, how do you call it? Events of windsurfing, yeah, to Bonaire.
Yeah, because there's quite a few events of windsurfing on,
yes,
Bonaire, right?
Piskechi, yeah, is the one that also took all these young guys like Tati France, Tonki France, all of these guys, Choco France, all of them, took them all to expose them out in the United States and other places that they are today,
yeah,
the world champions. Bonaireans are the world champions, you know,
nice,
in many categories. They're the ones that also created, you know, the freestyling and all of that, you know,
yeah,
with,
yeah,
moves. That is incredible, you know. But that's all being have been over there. So Piskechi used to stop the cars.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, you can count how many cars that pass. And I would be on my horse, and I would be racing against cars.
Yeah. So is this a 9-year-old Alvin or 11-year-old Alvin?
Yeah, I would say that was a 10-year-old
Alvin.
Yeah, 10-year-old Alvin. Yeah, 10, 11-year-old Alvin. Yeah, and then you have Cho-Cho used to come. We used to go look for donkeys. And, you know, there was always something happening at,
yeah,
our house. You know,
yeah,
always something happening. Because one of the good things is that my father, he bought all sorts of things for us. You know, mm-hmm, billiard. He did everything for us. And but he told us, share it with your friends.
Yeah.
So most of the friends come to our house,
yeah,
and we
so,
used to
so,
judge.
So your house was kind of like the Buurt House,
the place.
That...
And from time to time, you know, we would take my mother's car or my father's car to wash.
to wash.
But we'd have to take it from the front to go in the back. And then we had to, you know, driving first all around in the dirt. Get it dirty, then to wash it. You know? Those type of things.
So the front to the back took a bit of a detour, but you still ended up at the front at some point.
Yeah. It ended up afterwards at the front, and nicely washed.
Yeah.
You know. So that was us growing up, and one of the good things that happened to me was with my sensei Siso Nicolas. He teach us, you know, karate. And that teach us, you know, discipline.
Yeah.
And that helped us quite a bit with our discipline.
Yeah.
in many ways. And we also had boats.
What was the eventual ranking in karate?
You know, there was no actually, there was no belts because,
okay.
But we learned yeah. from everything to say to a level of black belt, but we never had, you know,
the ceremonies, never structured in that way, but all of the core lessons, the discipline, et cetera, it was instilled. Yeah. Yeah.
Then came Peter Silberi, and he put the regulations like it should have been, but then I'm already in the States.
Yeah.
You know, so studying.
So then we actually make in that jump. But before we get into the States and studying, well, tell me maybe a bit about your dad and his journey. How did he come to be able to provide all of that for his kids?
Well, he was he's born from a father that was an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
He came from Lebanon, and a mother that came from Bonaire, French.
So there's really a line of entrepreneurship.
And not only my father, my mother's side also, they were entrepreneurs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were entrepreneurs.
So then you didn't have a choice.
No, it was in your blood. It was in your blood. Yeah, it was in your blood. Yeah. Because not my mother, but my grandmother, my grandfather, my great-grandmother, all of them, they all had businesses.
Yeah.
You know, so, and from there, you know, so... It's in your blood.
Yeah.
And my father was a diver, very well-known diver. When Skin Dive magazine used to come, he would be the one that shows them around and all of that. And they would, you know, do a lot of crazy things.
Yeah.
Crazy dives, you know. As Don Stewart always says, Juancho was crazy, but I'm also very crazy. You know, so they did crazy things.
Yeah.
But they survived all these crazy things, you know.
And you mentioned Don Stewart earlier as well. Yeah. And the name does sound familiar, but who is Don Stewart?
Oh, Don Stewart is the icon, actually, of diving for tourism of Bonaire.
Yeah. You
know? He's really the icon of diving. My father was more the diver that would do it for work. You know, in the sense of go and dive in Sorobong, you see this hole. And that hole used to be, actually, there was going to be an 18-story high hotel there. But there was a hole that they couldn't, the leg had to come right at that hole.
Oh, okay.
And so they needed to actually close that hole.
Yeah.
And my father worked for 1 year filling up that hole with cement and all types of things, risking his life. He made tons of money. Very good money, but it never closed because the company went bankrupt after the owner died, so in an accident. So, but my father then opened furniture business. So since small, we used to be in the business, because it was my turn, for instance, to go to business, even though I was 11, 12 years old.
Yeah,
it was my turn to go and, you know, open or be there together with the other employees or things like that. And I didn't have a driver's license, but I would take my boat and, you know, because the building of my father was close to the ocean, but I was in Playa Pariba.
Yeah.
So I had to go from Playa Pabau over to Playa Pariba.
So you would take the boat from home and then get over there because you couldn't drive?
Yes, get there.
And resourceful.
Then, yes.
At what, 11, 12?
11, 12, yeah.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, around that age, yeah. And then at the same time, you know, I used to go to school. I went to Ambach School. Mm-hmm. I loved the technical. Yeah. I loved technical. And we lived so close to the school, but yet I take my horse from time to time to school. Everybody would come with the bicycle. I would come with my horse.
You know,
it was so funny.
So a 12-year-old is going to work.
Yeah,
that's already a bit unique-ish.
Yes.
But then going to work on a boat, definitely unique. Yeah. Going to school on a horse. So I see the trend of of utilizing unique ways of doing things.
Yes, yes, yes. I was always a little bit unique.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, if I make the fast forward jump into the future, then the big red building in St. Martin is also a unique color, yes. And it stands out.
Yes, that's the marketing.
I'm seeing the trend.
Yeah, that's the marketing. You know, how you do you get recognized?
Yeah, exactly.
In all the buildings and all the red building.
Yep. You know, you can't miss it.
You can't miss it. No, you can't. No.
Yeah, a red building on a backdrop of a green, beautiful hill.
Yeah.
The red also contrasts the green very well.
Exactly.
As a designer, I should know about colors.
Yes. Yes.
So it definitely stands out.
Yes.
Yes.
And so
tell me a bit more about school then. What was that journey like?
Then after I finished my Ambassador, mm-hmm. I went to, my father sent me to Florida, mm-hmm. to Montverde Academy, together with my brother. We went to Montverde Academy and we finished. From there, we went to Valencia Community College. My brother went for air conditioning.
Yeah.
Because my father was in air conditioning.
Okay.
That's how he got to Bonaire also. He used to be actually the only person that used to repair air conditioning on Bonaire when he used to go. And he was the only brother or only sibling that said, I want to go to Bonaire, where my grandmother, where my mother was. So
yeah.
So that's how he got to Bonaire. And he was very unique.
That's how your dad got to Bonaire.
Yes, my dad got to Bonaire. And his father is Lebanese, so mm-hmm. he also, you know, business runs in his blood.
Yeah.
You know, and his mother is from Bonaire, French, Indian.
Yeah.
Okay, not India from India.
Yeah, but from the Americas.
Yeah. And then,
so is it Arawak line or Carib line?
Arawak.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he moved to Bonaire. Him and his cousin, they built a boat mm-hmm. out of plywood.
Oh, wow.
Put a 25 horsepower behind it, and they just took off to Bonaire.
From where?
From Curacao.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They arrived, the boat, you know, the keel of the boat in the front uh-huh. was breaking.
Oh,
so what they did
God.
Was put the head up, and then they arrived over to the plaza. Crazy.
Risk-taker.
Very risk-taker, yeah. I think I got a lot of things from my father.
Yeah.
You know, because he was also an entrepreneur. He used to have ships, you know, and things like that also, and cargo ships and things like that. And he used to, you know, bring a lot of things to Colombia and from Colombia to the Caribbean and so forth. So it was, he was most of the time out of house also.
Yeah. So you have several siblings, right?
Yes,
I have. You mentioned your brother.
I have. We used to be four brothers, mm-hmm. one sister. Then my oldest brother passed away.
He died. Sorry to hear that.
At his age 16. He died while he was went for black coral.
And what is black coral?
Black coral is a black coral that you do, and you can make nice. Jewelry.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he went for that, and it was too deep, and his reserve tank did not work, so his lungs blew.
Collapsed.
Yeah. And Don Stewart was the one that first boat to arrive there to try to save him, but there was no way to save him, and he passed away. That was a sad moment in our life.
I can imagine.
Very sad moment. And then thereafter, my father formed partnership with Sylvia Abraham. And so I have my stepbrother. So I have two stepbrothers and one stepsister. And my stepbrother also died in the ocean doing water skiing.
Wow.
Yeah. If you went to Carol Beach Bar, most probably, and on that pier, he was put on that pier, and he died. He actually hit a boat not far away from that pier.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. While he was slaloming looking at his waves and he hit the beer. Yeah. And those are set moments in our life, you know. But I went to school in Montverde Academy, mm-hmm. then to Valencia Community College. I went for architecture. Then my father told me, you know, there's this thing called, the computer that's coming up. We're talking about here 1981, 82. Says there's something, you know, coming up there, and this thing at least seems to be promising, and so forth. So I went to study computer engineering in Tampa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I graduated while I was at school in the United States. I had a lot of friends of mine.
Yeah.
You know, as students, you need money. So I bought some Betamax and VHS. And I gave them to my friends, and I paid them $2 per movie without promotions, mm-hmm. and $1 with promotions in it. And so I had videos coming in. It was illegal.
Yeah, yeah.
It was illegal. There was no cable company back then. There was nothing. But
well, I have similar stories actually with... Well, I guess in the States they have statute of limitations. So after a certain amount of decades, they can't come for you anymore.
No, they can't come for me anymore.
But I had a similar thing with CDs. So in my days, in order to afford the latest album that I wanted, I would, let's say I buy the album, and then I would record at least 5, 6, 7, 8 cassette tapes, and then sell it to those that couldn't afford the CD, but then they could get the cassette tape, and then I could flip to get the next album and then make some extra money on the side.
Yeah. Well, I was making real money because I was sending the videos to Bonaire.
So they even had the supply chain set up.
Oh, yes, I had the supply chain. All the video takes in Bonaire, I was supplying them.
Oh, you know, God.
So I had it good. Huh? I had it good. You know, it wasn't bad.
I still had a small time hustle, but you already turned it into a business empire.
I did it pretty good. I did it very well. And then I noticed that some of my, because I used to send it through the mail, you know, with the mailman, you know, like that.
Yeah.
And boxes and things like that. And sometimes they would not arrive. Then I stopped doing it because they were going to come after me. Because it became a big business.
It became too big.
And
we're from Miami?
No, I was living in Orlando and Tampa.
Okay, you know? Okay. But still Tampa. From Florida.
From Florida, yeah.
And boxes ship it to the Caribbean in the 80s.
Exactly. So there is where then I graduated.
Because I do hear that, you know, your dad really tried to instill specific lessons. You just mentioned your daughter, so maybe you could talk about an example of specific lessons that you maybe tried to instill in your kids to continue part of that mindset.
But let me go first to my father.
Okay.
Because at a certain moment when I had agency, then I requested the agency for Radio Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed a place in order for me. My father was owner of the buildings, mm-hmm. you know, some buildings, and I needed a place to rent.
Yeah.
So I went to my father. I said, "Father, I want to rent from you."
Yeah.
And he says, "Well, yeah, okay. It's X amount. I'm just going to mention a figure. 1,000 guilders a month.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay me 2 months rent, a deposit.
Yeah.
And then you get the key.
Okay.
And you put it on this bank account."
Yeah.
Okay. I'll show you I can do it. I worked a little bit. I didn't have the money, you know, complete. But I went and I gave him the deposit and everything. And so after I was ready for me to go to, I think it was 6 or 7 months later, I was ready for me to go to Panama and buy in electronics, mm-hmm. so I can resell in Bonaire. he then told me, oh, by the way, I have a surprise for you. Here is your bank account. So he saved that money for me without knowing.
Yeah, yeah. What was actually interesting though, because then I'll ping pong to the future again, but I know that you own Xerox in St. Martin.
Yes.
Also in Bonaire.
It started in Bonaire.
Everything
started in Bonaire.
But what's interesting about what your dad told you in the early 80s that look at this computer stuff that's coming, and you quickly jumped on to the new wave of what was coming. But do you also know interesting fact? In 1984, the first Macintosh was released.
I know.
And that had the very first user, the GUI, the graphical user interface, designed by Apple.
Yes.
But Picasso-like, stolen from Xerox.
I know.
Because Xerox had the first graphical user interfaces that he saw and saw this funny thing with two buttons. What is that? A mouse.
Yeah.
And got inspired by that to then create that Macintosh computer with the first graphical user interface, which Bill Gates actually designed software for.
Yep.
And saw that this was the future, and then went on and built Windows behind Steve Jobs' back.
Exactly. Exactly. But there's more things that Xerox also created. People don't know Ethernet, Xerox invention. There's so many things that Xerox was involved in.
Yeah.
The only thing is they didn't know how to put it on the market.
Yeah.
And
we were talking about that earlier also with Philips, the amount of inventions that happened right here in Eindhoven, but they weren't the best at putting it out in the market. So eventually they would license these things to other companies.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And so at a certain moment, I was madly in love with my ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get back to Bonaire.
Because she's from Bonaire.
Well, she was living in Bonaire. She's from Curacao, living in Bonaire.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was my sweetheart, you know, from young age. And so at a certain moment, I wanted to go back because every little break I had, I wanted to be in Bonaire with her, you know. And I graduated today. Did not went to my ceremony, took my diploma, passed by a car sales, sell my car for whatever amount. I think I got $500 for it.
Yeah.
And then moved on to Bonaire, going to Bonaire. Didn't went to my ceremony. And when I reached Bonaire, my father asked me, so what are you going to do now? I said, well, I'm going to start something.
Yeah.
There was no computer. There was mainframe.
Yeah.
Macintosh just started, but it was just the beginning, you know? So there was mainframe, and mainframe today, the calculator does more than a mainframe.
So how big were those mainframes?
Oh, a house.
A house.
How bigger than that? This building?
Yeah.
You know, could be big. And so there was not. Actually, when I graduated, with summa cum laude, and I had you know, Texas Instrument, IBM, all of them came in to look for me, to hire me.
Yeah.
They said, I'm going to be doing my own hiring on my little island called Bonaire. So I went to Bonaire. And my father said, okay, you go to WIMCO. My friend is waiting for you over there.
Well, what is WIMCO?
WIMCO was actually a television, TV, and electronic, you know, place. My father used to be agent for them in Bonaire. Was very good friends with them. So he sent me over there, and I still remember Boy, his name is Boy Tuebo. He looks at me and says, Alvin, your father told me that you're coming, and he told me not to pay you more than 1,000 guilders a month. But I think it's a little bit too low. With your standard, I'm going to give you 1,500. Okay?
Don't tell your dad. Yes.
But they were best friends, you know. So, and with also the owner of WIMCO, they were best friends. So, and my father.
But what I'm kind of getting from this is that, your dad also very much consciously wanted to make sure that whatever you achieve, you truly worked for it yourself to give you that.
Yeah. So I started there, and he gave me a beautiful El Camino with, I had the first pickup truck that was lifted to this height. You're talking about 1984.
Yeah.
I had the first pickup truck with tires and all of that, young guy with 350 horsepower with every time you turn on the motor and you Roaring just drive sound. A little bit, you see the gas going like this. So at a certain moment, you hardly drive, only go to work and go.
Yeah.
And it was, I stayed 1 month. After 1 month, my father had a ship. Mm-hmm. So he had the first roll-on, roll-off container ship in the islands. Well, actually, my uncle had one before,
yeah.
But this one was with containers, and okay. He had the first container ship between the islands. And I said, okay, I'm put my car in it. After 1 month, I'm done. That's it.
I had my fun.
I'm going to Bonaire. And no matter what my father tell me, I'm going to open my business. You know, that was me.
Yeah.
And so my father says, I'm going to open my business. And I started actually TV and radio repair inside my room at his house. Then at a certain moment, Austin Olivier came to me. He says, Alvin, he was the head of the custom, very good friend of my father. He says, Alvin, you know, Motorola, two-way radios, we have a lot of problems, you know. The police has them, you know, everybody has, but nobody to repair them. Man. And we have to send them to Curaçao for Radio Holland. Why don't you look into it? Well, the next day I was in my father's ship going to Curaçao, offering them my service and everything. And
you saw opportunity, boom.
Of course, did it right away.
Yeah, yeah.
Without thinking, without blinking. Without I didn't hesitation. Know the rules and how the rules are regulated. It was so regulated that I didn't know how regulated it was.
Yeah.
So I decided I'm going to do that, you know. So I'm going to do that. So I started with, I went away. Remember, Gerard Tolenaar was there. He was the director of Radio Holland, Bonaire, Curaçao, Aruba, Sint Maarten.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked him, who's the director? He says, well, Mr. Gerardo. I said, tell him Mr. Robesi is here from Bonaire. So I had a lot of guts, always. You know, don't accept no, just continue doing. And politely, though, you know. And then I had a meeting. So he says, okay, well, interesting. I'll get back to you. I said, okay. After 3 weeks of waiting for him to get back to me, I said, Mr. Tolenaar, you told me you're going to get back to me. But concerning the license, you already agreed that we're going to have something to do. But I'm fed up. He says, no. I'm going to go with another brand. Okay, I'm going to start another brand then in Bonaire because I want to do this business and that's it. And he says, no, you don't understand. There's a licensing process. I said, okay, so we're going to send equipment for you and this and that to help you with the setup for the licensing process. And that was a long period, you know, but I was, so started with Motorola first.
You were eager to get started.
Yes.
You basically jumped into it head first, and then you learned what the actual business is as you were going.
As I was going. That was a lot of rules and regulations.
So it's like the analogy where you're on the train, but you're building the train tracks as the train is moving forward.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So that's one of these mindset things.
Yes. And then
But what gave you that type of confidence to be able to do that or even take those type of risks?
Let me put it this way. All of us, all my brothers and sisters, all of us have this mindset that if we believe in something, we do mm-hmm. it. And there's nothing, and I see it in my nephews also.
Yeah.
I see it in my daughter. I see them.
Yeah.
Exactly the mindset of an entrepreneur. They don't say, they just do it.
Yeah.
You know, they look at it good and you know, some of my nephews, they're very, very entrepreneurial. Very, very entrepreneurial. So my daughters, I have a 34-year-old daughter. She's not entrepreneurial at all. And then I have my second daughter, mm-hmm. is Tirza. Tirza is more the type, she wanted to go into the medical field.
Mm.
And she did also. She went for, she did...
if you know operation, the Dutch word, you could
operation, also... Operation room assistant.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
so she did that. And so she went into the field. And all of a sudden, she ended up coming to me and saying, I want to work with you.
Mm.
That was one of the happiest day of my life. When your daughter says, I want to work with you.
Yeah.
Because at a certain moment, I said, okay, who am I creating all these things for?
True.
Of course, I have nephews that would, you know, mm-hmm. have one, a few of them.
Because you like only have child. Daughters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I have nephews that are like my son. Mm. You know, I adopted them actually son. You know? And so they've been with me, you know, they're doing their own thing. They have mm-hmm. their own, but still they've been with me, helping me and so forth.
Yeah.
And when my daughter says she was very interested, she wanted to start helping. I was like, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
And so now she's helping me and she created a business of her own also. On the side
mm-hmm.
with her partner.
Oh, nice.
And so I'm, to this moment, I'm teaching them certain things if they want to learn.
Yeah.
Pricing, those type of things. But she's a very smart girl.
And so what is the business?
Oh, she's going to do next to our, we have the Xerox business.
Mm-hmm.
We have it, it's, a lot of people think that the print shop is the business that we have.
Mm.
But it's a showroom
yeah.
that you can show your quality
yeah.
and still make money with it.
Mm.
But she's gonna do, for instance, like t-shirt printing and okay. all of these things
yeah.
next to our things, you know,
yeah.
so which we used to have it already in the past.
Yeah.
So that's basically what it's gonna be. Nice. Going back, so I started actually with Motorola to... two-way radio as agent of Radio Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And I made it so good, amazing. Within 1 year, Xerox was renting from my father in Bonaire.
Yeah.
Okay. And my step-uncle asked me if I was interested, if I wanted to, Tong Abraham, if I was interested in the business of Xerox.
Yeah.
And I said, well, put up a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So he put up the meeting. And it was Artur Viana that came. Donnie Baca is also one of the first one. We're friends up to today. These are people that are close, close friends. And so we started talking about 1 cent, 2 cents, and 5 cents. I said, maybe it's something, you know, for my, I wasn't married yet.
Yeah.
Maybe something for my girlfriend or my wife to do help, you know. And so they gave me 3 months to operate the business.
The Xerox business.
Yeah, the Xerox okay. business. Well, within 1 month, I said, I'm going to buy. And they said, no, we're finally making money. Give it, let the 3 months.
Yeah.
You know, so that's actually how it happened. And I became agent to Xerox Antillana Curaçao.
Mm.
And after 10 years of doing business with Xerox Antillana Curaçao, which was Xerox Corporation.
And that's then where on Bonaire, Curaçao?
That was in Curaçao.
Oh, that was in Curaçao. Okay.
After agent for, because Curaçao, Xerox Corporation had the office in Bonaire, which is owned by Xerox Corporation, which is owned by, managed by Xerox Santillana in Aruba, in St. Martin.
Yeah.
And so there is where they had, was managed by Curaçao, by Rui Viana, good friend of mine. I learned so much from that guy. Became a mentor. I have actually three mentors.
Mm.
My father, Hugo Gerards, and Rui Viana.
Maybe take me through a couple of, let's say, the biggest milestone achievements in your business entrepreneurial career. So we touched on the early days of the air conditioning business.
Air conditioning, yeah.
Then the initial radio repair business.
Yes.
So those were all sort of the experimentation,
yes.
Young entrepreneurial
yes.
Ventures. The VHS business in Florida shipping to the Caribbean.
And my girlfriend used to, which became my wife, uh-huh. used to be the one that brings it to the customers.
To the customers, the distribution.
Distribution, yeah.
But then to the first, let's say, legitimate businesses when you became the
agent.
The agent for Xerox in Bonaire.
No, the agent for Zenitel, for Radio Holland first, Motorola,
yeah.
and then... In 1985.
Oh, yeah. Then the Xerox opportunity
the Xerox,
came.
Yeah.
And then the next step in that journey was you really wanted to become, grow from agent to distributor.
Yeah.
And then the opportunity came to buy Xerox St. Martin.
Yes.
And in that package was that they also made you distributor in Bonaire.
That was the deal.
And then
otherwise, I would not buy it.
Then we just touched on the fact that it was the first time for you going to St. Martin, getting the keys 5 days before, at that time, the most devastating hurricane
yes.
had ever passed on the island. Because
yes.
since then, we've had another one.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. And but I know there's a couple more highlight moments in the career.
The highlights that I did was in during the years as Motorola agent mm-hmm. to Radio Holland, we, Talbo and I, which was the local telephone company, and I actually sort of like invented ways to make two-way radio telephony with it.
Two-way radio telephones.
Yeah. So they actually would ring and you would dial before the mobile started.
Yeah.
Or you would dial and do all of this, but it was two-way radio conversation.
Oh, wow.
On the phone.
Because did you guys also help set up any of that in St. Martin?
No. In St. Martin, no. ECC, Hanky Rivers.
Mm.
Hanky Rivers, together with Bart, they did the first, the first mobile in the Antilles was done.
In St. Martin.
In St. Martin,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, ECC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Hanky Rivers together with Bart.
I do remember hearing these stories of, I forgot the exact name, but that my dad and some of his compadres were very much into those radios, and I don't know if they had a sort of a club and what exactly they used.
Oh, that's ham radios, yeah.
The ham radios,
ham
yeah.
Radios, I think. Yeah. That's totally different, yeah.
Okay.
That's a totally different world.
Yeah.
It's a club. It's a club. But going back, I would say that was a milestone.
Yeah.
Because from two-way radio, we make telephony, Talbo and I.
And
we used to install it by customers, yeah.
What year is this?
There, you're talking about 1991 to 1991 going to 1994.
Yeah.
1994, I set up the first Bonaire trunking system. And that was part of, together with, because you have Zenitel, which was Radio Holland before. Mm-hmm. Zenitel bought in. And you had, it was Tom Akers was the director. And we're friends up to today. We caught each other now and then.
Yep.
So Zenitel, one very important person that was with Talbo at that time that we made good moves was Bert Heiter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you a little bit more about him. May he rest in peace. But this guy was amazing, the same. Those are people that made a lot of difference in my life.
Yeah. You know?
And We did Zenitel set up the Curaçao trunking system and St. Martin trunking systems, and asked me if I wanted to invest into the Bonaire trunking system. This was done, you know, so I said, okay, I'm going to do that. And that's how we became actually the first in the Caribbean and Latin America that ever did this.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's a milestone right there.
Yeah.
And then in 1995,
yeah,
we opened the first mobile, was it 95 or 94? Sometimes you tend to.
Mid-90s.
Yes. We opened the first mobile telephony in Bonaire.
Oh, wow.
So that was actually, my license was used, okay, as two-way radio, because mobile at that time fell under two-way radio. Nobody knew what how to put it.
Brand new.
So it came as, that's.
I mean, the kids, anyone sub 30 can't even imagine a time when when there was no mobiles.
Yeah.
Much
yeah.
less for the 20-year-olds
yeah.
here.
Yeah, yeah. And so data, what you find was, I think it was 1995, we did the first mobile. It was actually Telbo, who has telephony rights in Bonaire, and Seitel, who had an infrastructure in Curaçao, and me, who had a license to do two-way radio, who mobile would fall under at that time. And together, we took the opportunity that the Queen was coming to Bonaire.
Yeah.
And Bert Heiter was the one that actually put it all together. May he rest in peace. Man of his word, all the way. And they wanted first to buy my company.
Mm.
And they offered me 3 million guilders at that time. That was a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for a young guy to, reap from, that's a good money. But I said, no, I don't sell my last name, you know. Because today I would form it differently and do it and do it. But anyway,
I did
good business, very good business.
That's actually then part of the learning curve,
yes,
right? As you go through business and you may have certain principles, but you maybe don't understand all the nuances of what is possible.
Yes.
So where you can still keep the last name strong, but still expand the business in different type of partnerships.
Correct.
Yeah.
But then we formed a partnership, and a very solid one, with a handshake, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm a man, I believe in handshakes, you know?
Yeah.
It's stronger than signing a document.
Mm-hmm.
But then today, I sign a document, and then we make a handshake. You know? It's two totally different things. Huh?
The times have changed, and people's, how to say this? Yeah, honor is not as strong as it once was.
True.
Yeah.
True. And so what happened was, so that was actually also a milestone, because I was part of the first mobile infrastructure in Bonaire.
Wow.
And another milestone is when I was in St. Martin, of course, I also bought the shares from Henke Rivers for wireless telecommunication network. And at a certain moment, we had to make a move from MMDS because the government wanted the frequency back. And so we had to make a move from MMDS to DVB-T. And we were the first in the Caribbean and Latin America that made that possible.
Yeah.
Even St. Martin don't realize what we have done.
Mm.
And the government of Colombia flew in to look at what we had and could not believe it, for they have been throughout Europe, throughout everywhere, looking for a new system to TV platform to create. And they couldn't imagine what they have seen. And they asked us to give all television stations and cable operators a presentation in San Andres Island in Colombia.
Oh, wow.
And I gave them all. In return...
So what did that have to do with the way that you guys implemented it in the landscape and infrastructure of the island?
Wireless pay TV and free-to-air TV.
Because where what year is that?
There was in 19... No, no, this was in 2000 and... 2009 going to 2010.
Oh, that's with the cable company that's...
Yes, yeah.
What's the name of that cable company?
Wireless Telecommunication Network.
Okay.
WTN.
Yeah. Oh, because that one also is the one that has quite a few
totally
of the
wireless.
Latin American
channels,
TV station channels.
And so forth, And unfortunately... the government did not
embrace it.
They did not embrace it, and they did not pay what they were supposed to pay me at the time they had to pay me.
Mm.
And that led to me losing quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
It's still life. There's still a window of opportunity, but it all depends on an investment I need to make, which has to come through one of these days, that I would come through it, then I can invest.
Okay.
Know? Yeah.
So I'm gonna jump back a little again.
Yeah.
In an introspective way. So let's see. Let me do some calculations here. I believe it would be 1981.
Yes.
Let's say summer 1981. That's the time that your dad told you look into this computer science stuff.
No, that was around halfway in 1981.
So that's an 18-year-old Alvin.
Correct.
So sitting in this chair today.
Yeah.
Looking back at 18-year-old Alvin, what advice would you give him?
I would say stick a little bit longer in school.
Mm-hmm.
Go for the accounting part of business.
Okay.
To learn a little bit more.
Yeah.
Legal side of things also.
Mm-hmm.
And then so wait one more year, do courses and things like that and that.
Yeah.
And then... follow your dreams.
And then follow your dreams.
Yeah. But take the courses. If you haven't taken them, take the courses for accounting and also for legal, legal. That would help you a lot in life. Because there's a lot of bad people about back there that put you know.
Lines that screw you over. Yeah.
But even though I didn't experience much, but I've had people that tried it. And thanks God, I had the backbone that I always check with my lawyers to see. And then, hey, Alvin, this move, okay. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't change much because I did what I had to do. And sometimes I use thanks in Adderline. I ate more than I can chew, but then I spit it out.
I did it my way.
I'm doing it my way.
Still
and sometimes
doing it.
You still spit, you still have to spit more,
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's how it is.
We touched on what I did found interesting is you mentioned that you wouldn't change much. So there's not much advice that you would give an 18-year-old you that would be different than what you did and the path that you walked on. The key thing that you said is learn some of the accounting, learn some of the legal stuff in more in the essence for you to have a better understanding of it at a younger age, right?
Yeah.
So that later on in life, even if you're not executing those aspects yourself, but at least you have the understanding that
better
when
understanding.
Advisors are advising you on things that you can still follow along very easily, which I believe is core advice. No person needs to know everything about everything, but you should have a certain level of knowledge on a plethora of different aspects. And if you're going to follow your dreams and go into entrepreneurship, then understanding your books is vital. So understanding your how the numbers work, the accountancy is 100% vital. Having some form of understanding on the legalities, I can also imagine being super vital. Management operations is something that you can learn along the way, but also having some form of understanding of all of these aspects. There's actually a term that, something I learned along the way and something that I'm still busy cooking up, but I call them the five pillars. So one pillar is your marketing and sales, one pillar of business. The second, the next pillar would be your product or services. The next pillar would be administration and operation. So that comes down to your accountancy. No, it's not administration and operations. It's, I believe, administration and finance. And then you have the operation side. Yeah. And last but not least, the external market. Because that is the part that is not in your control.
Yeah.
Those four others you can keep in your control, but the fifth one happens outside of your control, and you have to constantly be able to adapt to it. So in essence, you're saying make sure that you understand more about more aspects of these different pillars, and then you take your drive and your ambition and go for it.
And I would add one more thing.
Tell me.
Take your losses when you have to take them.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we become greedy.
Yeah.
And when the customer is telling you, complaining about certain things, take your losses. I've been through, and I think that's what made me grow, that I had to order certain parts urgently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even take a plane, go to Curaçao, get the part, which...
That cost
$25,
mm-hmm.
and sell it for $25.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah, because your plane ticket, all of this stuff, it's basically at a loss.
Total loss.
Yeah.
However, the customer knows what you did.
Yeah.
And the customer knows what you did is extraordinary. You did not charge them extra for that service.
Yeah.
And that is what, if you want to build a brand, you got to build it that way.
Yeah. The trust being one of the strong pillars. Yeah.
Hey, if it falls under warranty, stick to it.
Yeah.
It's under warranty.
Yeah.
Don't deviate, because that's what builds your name.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a few things that I would, not one thing that I would change a little bit is actually try to be more at home.
Mm.
With my children when they were grow up.
Yeah.
But however, you can't do both things at the same time.
Yeah.
You know? And that's one thing that I regret a little bit.
Yeah.
That took place.
Yeah.
But other than that,
you wouldn't change a thing.
Wouldn't change much. All the bad things that happen and all the good things, I always believe that good things happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And bad thing also happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you will know the reason, not right away.
Yeah.
When the time comes.
Exactly.
You know? And that's one thing. Going back to the water equipment, because I became part of that company. And then what I did was, at a certain point, I said, you know something? I'm going to take over the distributorship for Caribbean and Latin America, you know? And I'm going to work, well, except for where they are already, you know, which is the French islands and all of these, because this is a French family, very nice family, by the way. A very man of honor and word and things like that. You know, going back, St. Martin is a very interesting island because you meet very interesting people. I met the Cavana family in St. Martin through my goddaughter. I learned of this equipment that Christian Cavana invented, actually.
What equipment is that?
You plug it into the water. You plug it into the you plug the equipment into the wall, and it creates the best water you can ever drink.
Okay.
From the air.
When was this?
This is, we're now 2021 or 2020, just prior to COVID, approximately. Mm. I could not believe what I was seeing. And I know.
How big is this device?
Oh, we have it 40 by 40 by 56.
That's feet?
Centimeters.
Centimeters, okay.
Yeah, you have the table model. You have the 40 by 40 by 112. Okay, that's... and then you have, bigger models. You have the 10 liter. You have the 30 liter. You have the 60 liter, 100 liter, 500 liter. And then we can custom build to your building's infrastructure.
Yeah.
You know, like that. And what it does is it creates water from the air. And at the same time, it purifies also what is inside the building.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the best would be if it's outside, but it works also inside the building.
Okay. But it can also work outside?
The best, because there it's where it gets more moisture.
More moisture.
Yeah. And so when I looked at it and I said, wow, I couldn't believe this. This is so amazing. This is the best. Wow. So I asked him a few questions and this and that. And then we formed a partnership. And we even put the company, the head office was in Bonaire.
Yeah.
So it can be a Dutch company. And from there, we went to, we became part of the Dutch, the water mission.
Mm.
And so we went to Mexico together. We did Panama and so forth.
Yeah.
So that's how we went to water missions from the Netherlands. And we were very unique. We had the booth that everybody came to see.
Because you had demos of the product.
Yes, tested out and everything. And
that it's would be amazing. Super interesting.
It is so amazing, amazing how this equipment works.
Yeah.
I mean, the water, what it tastes is amazing. You can't imagine.
So,
and it never went through any pipe except internally. The Father Cavana is amazing. So at a certain moment I said, I'm going to take the distributorship. And then we came to the conclusion, we said, okay, the inventory that we put in Panama will be from Green Innovation. And then we would move forward like that.
Yeah.
So my purpose of my trip, and I took Netherlands also, because I'm a Dutch company, and I want to push my product into the Dutch market. I created a good relationship due to the water mission as being part of the water mission for the Netherlands, being part of the Netherlands.
Mm.
You know, so I said I want the Netherlands as well, because lots of times the Netherlands government would, you know, give a gift to another country or whatever it is. And usually it comes from the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a distributor or sub-distributor here, they would then carry it out with the Dutch government or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So, and looking at the future, how I have seen the future is looking at all the things that while I was in the water mission, the world is in critical state of water.
Yeah.
Critical state. If you look at, I've been through rivers where pollution comes out of rivers. Pollution that fumes comes out of the river, entire river.
Wow.
That river connects to the ocean.
To the ocean. Yeah.
And don't forget, like that river, there's plenty of other rivers in other countries, big countries, that is connected to the ocean. And that is today forming, how do you call it? That's why you have the reefs have problems.
Yeah.
The algae is coming out. All of these type of things, it's because we have one ocean.
Yeah.
That's my belief. I'm not a scientist,
yeah,
but we are one ocean. At True. A certain moment, we all connect.
Yeah.
And all these things.
It all flows.
All flows.
Yeah.
And when you look at, for instance, the rivers itself that is contaminated, how can you drink that water?
Yeah.
So we would have water, but we don't have drinking water.
Because maybe a lot of people don't even know, well, a lot of the bottled water is coming from the natural springs. The natural springs are connected to the rivers. It's this whole ecosystem is all
now,
connected.
What Australia does, it replicates Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Replicates Mother Nature. You know, you have first, you know, the external filters, which are HEPA filter in some of the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that keeps all the bacteria out. And then you have the condensation. Then you have another filtering with reverse osmosis. And then you have the UV lamp with the tank.
Yeah.
And then you have pure drinking water with 7.4 pH, which is alkaline water.
Yeah, that's alkaline water.
Perfect alkaline water. And it's amazing. Once you drink the water from Eau Soleil, you do not want anything else, honestly. Every time I travel,
yeah,
I suffer because I don't have my water with me.
You don't have your water with you.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So that's gonna be part of new business ideas.
Green innovation. Yeah.
The
that's coming now.
The traveling version.
No, we already have it. I'm looking actually now in the Netherlands. First, I have to find out what are the rules and regulation, mm-hmm. of course,
mm-hmm.
and then for us to execute to make sure that we comply with all the rules and regulation, and then you know, maybe together with a sub distributor. Hopefully we'll find one. And we also, you know, looking back into it, they say, hey, you know something? Solar system would work perfectly with this. Because I have a few rural places in Bonaire that don't have, it's totally off-grid and has our equipment with the drinking water.
Oh, wow.
You know, so, hey, and tell you one more thing.
In emergency situations.
Yeah, not only that. Yeah, like calamity and all of that, yeah. And not only that, but once the lady find out about this water, what it does with your skin when you wash your face, my friend, you can never take
deal.
It. You can't take away that equipment from them. You know, and it's half price of the ones that knows Kangen water equipment. You know, it's half price of it.
Yeah.
You know, and but what it does miracle with your skin.
Wow.
I have a friend, one of my business partners in Costa Rica. He had one of the models, so he would go to Costa Rica and show the hotel, this and that, and hold these things. At a certain moment, he wanted to take out the equipment to go to an event. The wife says, the equipment is not going out of here. Bring the people home.
Oh, my God.
It's a true story, yeah?
This is the warning for the guys that want to make that investment and the ladies find out the beauty implications.
Yes.
You're screwed. All right.
It is so true, huh? It's so true.
So,
but then when you drink, I have you know, people that have you know, testimony that says they had problem with their skin.
Mm-hmm.
Once they started to drink the water, the skin problem went away. Their skin rash and all of these things.
Yeah, I'm very curious about this. We'll have to talk more offline.
Yeah.
But looking into the crystal ball of the future, right? Because earlier you mentioned that. I think I quoted something like, oh, I did it my way. And you're like, no, I'm still doing it my way.
Yeah.
So what are some of the other opportunities that you see that you want to explore? Some of the plans that you maybe could share on camera?
You know, St. Martin is a very unique island in many ways. Even though the mass tourism made a lot of dent into it,
mm-hmm.
but you still encounter very, interesting people.
Yeah.
I was with my good friend, like brother Robbie. He says, Alvin, there's this guy in the movie. He used to make a lot of movies, and he made this and that. You want to meet him? I said, yes. What up? Yeah. So he called him. He happened to be on Silmar, and his name is Mars Callahan.
Mm.
And Mars started talking to me about, what he's doing and this and that. And then he says, you want to see? Let's go to my villa.
Yeah.
And we went to Lowlands. Villa, beautiful villa. And who do I encounter there? Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, wow.
A bunch of movie stars,
yeah.
and also a whole team.
So when was this? Around December, January-ish?
No, there was, this was, let me see. Time flies so fast.
Yeah. No, I'm more thinking the time of the year.
I think it was like 2 years ago. 2 years ago.
Yeah. But with season of the year.
This would have been in summertime.
In summertime,
Summertime, yeah. And so 2 years ago, two years ago. And so I came across him and he says, yes, let's go take a look at it, Look at what they have. And they were showing me Joe Juarez, who's a co-owner as well. And some other techie guys, and these guys are beyond, you can't imagine. And they showed me the product. I said, holy shoot. Whoa, I want to be part of this. How can I be part of this? And they said, well, we need to get into Colombia, we need to do this, we need to do this. I said, I'll take you to the presidency house. I didn't know the president. But I'll take you there.
I'll get it done.
And before you know it, 1 month thereafter, we were in the President Palace.
President Palace in Colombia.
In Colombia. With all the ministers and all of them. As if you believe in something and you have a good product, you can convince anybody. And of course, I have very good friends that could open the doors and things like that, So
there's that saying that you're only five steps removed from anyone in the world.
One thing, when you come into the room with guys like Cuba Gooding Jr., everybody wants to see you. And the first thing they ask is, can I take a picture?
Yeah.
This guy is so famous.
Yeah.
We went to Bonaire together. And he stayed at my house together with the whole team.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a bet with him. I said, in Bonaire, when you reach to Bonaire, you don't need to worry. The people won't worry who you are and this. And so you don't need to worry about security. You don't need to worry about this. He said, Alvin, are you sure? You want to bet? I said, no, we don't need to bet, but I'm just telling you. Well, as we came from the airport, we were driving in front of the Bastures Collation, and they stopped. He said, let me see this 1 minute. And somebody recognized him from in the car. Can you imagine? And the guy stopped. He could not believe his eye. The other car came and bumped into him.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
So you guys caused an accident in Bonaire.
Both of them got out of the car, wanted to take a picture with Cuba. and then Cuba with me says, Alvin, I'm telling you. It's amazing. This guy is so humble, so nice, because he has his time that he wants his, But I don't want to be in his shoes, because everywhere this man goes is like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no corner on earth that he could be, relaxed.
Yeah.
There's no corner on earth, But this guy is amazing. He's Alvin. Such a humble man. Yeah.
And, amazing stories, man.
But I did not tell you what the business was. It is the world first Web 3.0 platform with streaming.
Let's Let's leave that as a surprise for later.
Okay.
Web 3.0.
Okay. Yes.
World's first.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
Created for mainly, actually it was created more for the movies and people that make content providers.
Yeah.
People like you guys, you know, that make movies and make things, but don't have a way to
distribute it
and to cash out.
Get direct to customer. Yes,
like that. And that's what it's all about. But then came more things and more things and more things. It's something, it's going to be the bomb. It's going to be the bomb. I can tell, it's going to be the bomb. It's going to be.
That crystal ball, well, the track record speaks for itself.
It will be as big or bigger than Microsoft.
Oh, snap.
Or Amazon.
Oh,
or
snap.
Any of these big corporations within 5 to 10 years.
Huge.
Once it launches, which is close to launching, you know. So I'm happy to be, you know, part of this because they appointed me. Well, I'm a shareholder now, and they also appointed me president for Latin America and Caribbean. But since, you know, we're also a Dutch island, I want to bring it to the Netherlands as well, you know. So that's, and then of course, once it gets to the Netherlands, it's gonna go viral all over
Europe,
all over. It's going to be a worldwide thing. And I would be very proud to see that day that it's a major accomplishment. Don't go with the money.
Yeah.
It goes with the accomplishment that one has done.
Yeah.
And when you believe something, you see something, you grab it and you take it along. And sometimes, like they say, you know, you chew more than you can, but then you spit it out.
You take on more than you can chew, but then you know, you have to know when to spit it out. Don't choke on it.
Don't choke on it. Yeah. Because sometimes you know, but then again, no venture taken, nothing to gain.
Yeah, exactly. You exactly. Know? Alvin, it's been an amazing conversation.
Yeah.
I feel like I've learned a lot during this conversation. And I believe the viewers at home or wherever you're connecting from have also gained some interesting knowledge, insights, nuggets, and they got to keep looking out for what's next because it seems like you're still doing it, not quite done, still more to go, and busy right now in what seems to be two potential world shifting, changing type of projects with the water and the Web 3.0.
Yes.
So thank you very, very much for being here.
You are so welcome.
And having this amazing conversation with us.
Thank you.
That handshake. Right.
Very important. And the look in the eye.
Exactly.
Yes.
And with that, guys, we're out. Another amazing episode of Sunside Kingdom Show. I'm speechless right now. So I'm going to just lock off, shut down, and continue some offline conversations. Thank you very much. See you in the next one. Subscribe, like, share, comment. Actually, I even forgot to mention, you're our first guest from Bonaire.
Look at that. Like I say, a good friend of mine, he passed away.
Yeah.
Look at that, look at that, look at that. That's Stephen Bruni, my good friend.
Stephen Bruni?
Yeah. He used to take care of my boat in St. Martin. Very good artist. Had a voice of gold.
I wonder...
Yeah, he used to be in the Netherlands.
We're actually friends with Bruni, so there might be some relation there as well.
Oh, they are. All Brunis are family.
Yeah.
And this guy was amazing, amazing singer. He used to be in a band here.
Okay.
He used to be in the band here. And he used to be a good singer. He was a songwriter also.
Yeah.
From St. Martin. This guy is, well, I miss him every day. Wow. I miss him, yeah. Me and both of them used to take care of my yacht and also the one from Robbie, which is, we both miss him so badly.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy is amazing. He's... Like his father, you know, when they are detailed people, when they does a detail, they do a detail. Unfortunately, he passed away.
Yeah.
You know, very good friend. Yeah.
Alvin.
Yeah.
Thanks once again.
You're welcome.
Viewers at home, thank you. See you in the next one. Bless.